I'm going to open the new year. Look at verse 18 again of Romans chapter 12. We're going to keep our Bibles open, if you would. We're going to try and stay there. Verse 14, excuse me, 18 again. Who against hope believed in hope. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And if you'll allow me this morning, if you've got the app open, HardinValleyChurch.com/app, you can grab it real quick, click on the sermon notes, and you'll be right there with me. You can fill in the blanks on your smartphone or your tablet there. And I'll talk about having hope in the new year. Pray with us one more time. Father, help me this morning. Lord, I'm so excited. Lord, I was in bed in November. I was in the hospital two Sundays in December. Everybody was scared what I'd catch. I missed another Sunday. Lord, to the best of my knowledge, Father, I've not really been able to do this. And so the thrill that I have right now to be in front of people that I love, in front of a book that I adore, to preach for a God whom I serve is a real joy. So thank you. And I pray this morning wouldn't be self-indulgent. I pray it wouldn't just be me having a good time because I get to do what you call me to do. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, we live in a mess of a world, and if we're not real careful, we make messes in our lives. And by the time we get done looking at social media and the TV and listening to each other, doing the comparison game, Lord, we can be really discouraged. And oh, how I pray this morning you would remind us what biblical hope is. And I pray it would inspire us and motivate us and rally us to hold tightly to your hand. Father, we need you this morning. Pray that you'd bless. Holy Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, I believe this is the message, Lord. I've thought and thought and thought about this, Lord, for weeks. I believe I've settled on the simple outline. And I pray that you would use me. Spirit, fill me. Guide me, direct me. I pray I preach with power, Lord. The only way I'll do that with my weak body is if you do it. So, Father, thank you for reminding me that it is all about you and not about me, not about us. So help me, I pray. Use me, I ask. Speak to our hearts. Bless those who are watching online, those who will watch later. I pray in Jesus' precious name and amen. Amen. We talk about the word of hope here. We have a funny way of doing it sometimes. Anybody here ever say something like, I hope, and then you finish the sentence? And what you mean is, I wish. If you're old as I am, you've got your fingers crossed kind of thing, you know, like that. I've laughed and laughed. I actually don't think I've ever told this story in here, but when we were first diagnosed, he was just bam, 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 bam. And I was just doing what I was told. And I was here, I was there, and So that Thursday, which would have been the 22nd of August, they set up all these appointments for me. And so Monday I go in and I have a bronchoscopy and they're waiting for me and they give me these drugs and boom, I'm out and boom, I wake back up and I'm just as loopy as I can be. Anybody ever been medically loopy besides me? And I'd never really been medically loopy that I remember, and it was amazing, and I couldn't shut up, and my throat really hurt. I kept talking, and it was bad. And so Tuesday, I went and saw the doctor. And Wednesday, I said I paid bills. And Thursday, I was back at a doctor, and they made me loopy again. So that's Monday, they gave me loopy medicine, and Thursday, they gave me loopy medicine. And by this point, I just walked around, you know, kind of bopping at people because they had knocked me out of my gourd a couple of times. Nod your head if you're still with me. And so on Friday, I had another appointment. And I went in, and there was a little nurse. And I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, are y'all going to knock me out? Look right here, if you would. And he said, we're gonna relax you. I said, the last two people told me they were going to relax me, and I don't remember anything. I said, I'm on to you guys. I know what you're going to do. I said, can you go? Is it okay? I said, I was knocked out Monday, knocked out Tuesday. If you knock me out today, that'll be 3 times in 5 days. Is it safe? She looked at me, kind of looked at my wife, kind of shrugged her shoulders and said, well, it should be. And I said, is there anybody you can ask who might know if it's okay to knock me out 3 times in 5 days? She went out, she came back, and she said, well, they said you should be okay. And I said, is that as good an answer as I'm going to get? She went, I think so. And she went back out, and I looked at Andre, and I said, okay, baby. They think so, and so I reckon we'll just hope that everything will be okay. And when I said hope there, I meant, you know, I wished. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I just kind of hoped it. I wrote down some dumb things we say. We hope that we can make it home with no gas in the car. Anybody ever said that? I hope we can make it home or make it to the gas station. Anybody in here had hope before and your hope ran out? You're just hoping that it'll do that. We say it, hope it'll work out. I had somebody the other day tell me something completely ridiculous. And they said, what do you think, preacher? And I went, well, I wouldn't do it. I say that a lot. But, you know, I hope it works out for you. I mean, surely somebody, you know, can beat the odds you're talking about, I suppose. But we say hope, and we mean we wish. We wish. We say we hope something works out, or we hope we can make it home on the gas, or hope we can make it to the gas station. And then around our house, we say occasionally, well, I hope it doesn't kill you. You know, I don't like to cook. Anybody here doesn't like to cook, but you like to eat, so you find yourself at cross purposes every now and then. And so I found something in the fridge the other day to warm up, and I wasn't certain about it. And I figure if anything I'm not certain about, I can nuke it long enough that I'll kill whatever's bad in there. Anybody else think like I do? And I, whatever it was, and I started eating, and I called Andre or texted Andre, and I said, hey, baby, I got this thing. I was about to eat it, and she sent something back like, stupid, stupid man. And she said, I hope it doesn't kill you. And again, to me, in my mind, a Eastern North Carolina redneck, you know, that's pretty good odds. You know, it survived a microwave. You know, I'll be all right. And so she got home. She said, did you eat it? And I said, well, you said you hoped it didn't kill me. And she fussed at me some more. And so I don't know how that. But anyway, we're here. And so we do those kind of things. So when we say that, I think we miss some things. We're talking about hope in the Bible here. We're talking about hope in the Bible. We're talking about something different. We're talking about the confidence. God is able to do what he says. We're talking about confidence that God is able to do what he says. We're talking about the certainty that you can trust his character. When people say, man, I have hope, a lot of times they're talking about crossing their fingers, wishing something would happen. I don't believe that's at all biblical hope. Biblical hope is not a wish. It's not crossing my fingers. Biblical hope is confidence. God is able to do what he says, and there's certainty to know and trust in his character. Trust in his character. And I want to walk you through that a little bit in Romans this morning. Let me just ask you quickly here. How's your hope in 2020? How's your confidence? Are you full of despair? Full of hope? It's not going to work out. God's got it handled. Confidence. Biblical hope is confidence. God is able to do what he says. And the certainty to trust in his character. See, I believe you can know. I believe hope has more to do with knowledge and confidence than it does with any kind of wishing. any kind of cross in my fingers, any kind of hope. This is what I was expecting here. This is biblical hope. We're in Romans chapter 4. Let me offer it to you again. These notes will be online this afternoon. You can look at them in your app as well. Number one, hope is fueled by the conviction that God is able. God is able. God is able. Every now and then somebody asks me. In fact, I got asked Thursday. Guy kind of stopped me, and he's a dear brother, dear friend, and he said, Rodney, you don't have to put on around me. You don't have to act like everything's okay. You can just be you. And I said, well, I said, today I'm being me. I said, last month this time I was in the hospital. Last month this time for 3 days, it was pretty iffy. Last month this time I lost so much oxygen that I was on a machine giving me 30 liters at the time. They had a special machine brought in. It was so loud when I got out of the procedure and I was really loopy. I didn't know what was going on, so I thought I was deaf. And nobody told me anything, so I thought, man, they went into my throat. They cut the ears. And so I'm 45 minutes, I thought I was deaf. How many of you think if you go to sleep and wake up and you can't hear, you think that's disconcerting? That's a bad thing. Finally, I figured out it was the machine being so loud, and I really wasn't deaf. I was pretty happy about that. But my throat was so sore I couldn't tell anybody till the next day. Hey, I'm not deaf. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, why are you doing? I said, man, I miss Thanksgiving. I was so sick Thanksgiving, I never even ate a piece of turkey. I had blood clots swarming in my lungs. Didn't know anything about it. I had pneumonia, the upper lobes. Didn't know anything about it. They treated me and they did the best they could, but they gave me a pulmonary edema. And so I had fluid on the inside, fluid on the outside, and blood clots swimming around everywhere. And every time I turned around, somebody was in there trying to take blood. And I finally just said, go to the guy next door. I'm out. And we were there. I said, Rodney, you don't have to be chipper if you don't want to be. I said, man, compared to last month at this time, life's a bed of roses. Praise the Lord. I believe God is. I said, I'm not putting on anything. I said, I can tell you God's taking care of me, because if everything going like it started to in the start of December, you know, I'd had a very different January. But I'm glad for that. By the way, that's not me bragging or anything like that. That's just me simply saying I have watched God do what he promised he would do. Abraham here has a promise from God. He's going to make of him a great nation. And Abraham says, God, I'm an old guy. My wife's an old lady. I don't think he said it that way. He just said she was past her years. Look right here, ladies, if you would, with me. And he says, but I trust you. I absolutely, positively trust you. See, hope is about who God is and that God is able. That God is able. You ever made a mess in your life? Nod at me if you've ever made a mess. You ever wish you could have a do-over? Anybody in here ever wish there was a reset button? An undo button? I did something the other day on my computer, and it was... And I said, there's got to be a way to undo this. And when I found the way to undo it, I was a happy man. Because I had just totally deep-sixed my computer doing something I thought was good, and it was bad. It was bad, bad. Every now and then, I wish, man, life had an undo button. Life doesn't have an undo button. Life has a forgive button. God can be forgiven because of what Christ did on the cross, because he rose again from the dead. I can have grace and mercy. I've loved looking at Mark in the scriptures. Paul, the aggressive, hard-charging, type A, Enneagram 1. Mark's not cutting the mustard. He's not fit for ministry. Get rid of him. Barnabas goes, he's going to be okay, Paul. You're just being too hard on him. Barnabas takes Mark, goes off. Sure enough, Mark does real well. Paul later on goes, you know what? Hey, send Mark to me. He's profitable to me for the ministry. I'm glad when other people give up on us, God does not. By the way, I'm glad sometimes when other people give up on us, God's got somebody on the wings, in the wings, saying, you know what? I can help you. I can lift you up. I can work with you. God is able. God is bigger than my personal failings. He's bigger than my marital failings. He's bigger than my bad choices. He's bigger than my sins. He is able to do what he says that he would do. Look at verse 19 there, Romans chapter 4. And being not weak in faith, it wasn't his ability, it was his confidence in the God of the Scriptures. Abraham believed in God. Hope is fueled by this conviction, Number two. So far, so good. My voice has held out for 15 minutes. You still able to understand me, okay? All right. Number two, hope is rooted in the assurance that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It is rooted in this assurance that is there. Look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 5. Flip over a page. If you're using your Bibles on your phone or your tablets, scroll over just a little bit there. For being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I were talking, I think it was last night, Friday night maybe. I looked at her and I said, you know, if we weren't getting along real well, August 20th, when I figured out I was sick, we'd have been miserable these last 4 or 5 months. Our relationship had been bad. You had to take care of me, or had to not take care of me, and make the boy take care of me, I suppose. I said, I couldn't imagine going through what we've been through. I can't imagine people going through trauma, tragedy. They don't have a good relationship. Let me help you. If you're a child of God this morning, God has said, hey, here's the relationship I have paid for you. There is now peace, a cessation of hostility between you and I. I have made it so that everything is right vertically between you and I as a child of God. As a child of God. You ever been around people that were passive-aggressive? Y'all not nodding your head or waving or anything. If you're passive-aggressive, you wouldn't answer anyway, right, would you? They say things like, fine, or sure, or I don't have a problem. I don't know what you're talking about. Aren't those people delightful? You just want to take a baseball bat to them. You can raise your hand for that one, right? Yeah, say fine one more time. I'll fine you. God's never been passive-aggressive with you. Somebody say amen. He's never been sarcastic with you. He's never been standoffish with you. Hey, God's never froze you out. God said, I have purchased peace through the blood of my dear son, verse number one. We have access, verse two, into this grace. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, verse four. Patience, experience, hope makes not ashamed. Verse number five, over and over, Romans chapter five talks about the hope that we have because of what God did on the cross. May I encourage you this morning? Some of you are going, you know, preacher, if you just keep drinking that odd liquid, it'll make your voice sound better. But I don't know how to drink liquid and talk at the same time, so I'll just keep taking those sips. By the way, I think first time ever I've ever sat down and drank coffee to preach. So if you leave here and call me a liberal, I am wearing a tie. And I've been saving that joke for right now. And all of you playing words with friends right now, come back to me, okay? See, Pastor, my life's a mess, okay? There are people in my life. I got it. Where do I get my hope from? You get your hope from an empty tomb and a blood-stained cross and the fact that he purchased peace for you. It is not your circumstances that dictate your hope. And by the way, it affects your hope. Your hope is in the assurance that God said everything's all right now because you're my child, because I bled and died on the cross for you and your sins. That's where we get our hope from. That's the assurance number three. Still with me this morning? Say amen. Your hope is nourished through the encouragement of the Scriptures. Through the encouragement of the Scriptures. Flip over to Romans chapter 15, if you would. Romans chapter 15. Excuse me. Romans chapter 15. Verse 14, I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, Scripture, able also to admonish, to encourage one another. Here's one of the dumbest things the devil ever does. one of the dumbest things the devil ever says to us, and his demons and his forces, and we believe it. I'm struggling spiritually, so I need to stay away from church. I'm struggling spiritually, so I need to put up my Bible. I'm struggling spiritually, so I need to quit listening to gospel programming on the radio or podcasts or videos or whatever you have. I'm struggling spiritually, so the best thing for me to do would be to go on a diet of Scripture. Isn't that crazy? By the way, anybody ever been tempted that way besides me? You really blow it spiritually. You really get involved in some sin you shouldn't be involved in. Or you get embarrassed about some bad decisions you've made. And what do? First thing you do is what? Well, I'm sitting at home today. Well, I'm not picking up my Bible today. I'm not going to Bible study. I'm not going to small group. I'm not going to Sunday school. I'm just going to stay away. Then you wonder, as you just die a little more inside. You want to lose your hope real quick? Get away from the Scripture. You want to lose your hope real quick? Get away from those who are trying to encourage you with the Scripture. March 15th, 2020, that'll be 28 years, starting 29 in ministry for me, if I'm counting correctly. If I'm not doing my math correctly, don't meet me at the door and tell me I did it wrong. You'll just hurt my feelings, and then I'll be passive-aggressive toward you. And, I've watched for 28 years almost now. I've watched your people, man, preacher, Brother Glassby, preacher, I love you. And I go, I love you. And preacher, here's some cookies. And I go, I love you more. And you go, preacher, here's a pie. And I'm going, that's good for one free wedding. Preacher, here's two pies. I'm like, that's good for one wedding and one funeral. And then they get in sin. 3 weeks later, they quit taking my phone calls. They quit. There wasn't any texting back then. I go to the door and knock on it. I hear, shh. Nothing makes me any happier than hearing that, by the way. Dog going crazy. They're trying to grab the dog. Then I hear him beat the dog. Be quiet. Poor dog getting whooped on because I'm at the door. Used to, I would just go get back in the car. Now, these years later, I'll just stand there for about 10 minutes. I just see how long you can hold out. And I just stand there letting you whoop the dog to death. And I just stand there. Used to, I'd go around to the back. If there was a door, I'd just go around it. I quit doing that now because the neighborhood watch. I started to do that the other day with somebody. And I turned around. Some told me to turn around. And there was a guy over there writing my license plate number down. So I waved, said, I'm the preacher. And they nodded. I went and got my car. And so I don't do that kind of junk anymore. Some of you are going, does he know where we live? I won't do that to you. And I promise. I'm just being silly a little bit. It's amazing how you go from the friend to the enemy. Not really if you follow me here. I used to take it personally. I don't anymore. You're mad with God. You're mad with the Scripture. You're mad with Him. You want to have your hope nourished? And you need to be around the Word. You need to be in the Word. Robbie Gallaty says you need to be in the Word till the Word gets in you. I believe our folks are dying and we are lacking hope because we have not been encouraged and nourished through the Scripture. Look again, you are filled with all knowledge. If I was passing out T-shirts this morning, it said filled with knowledge, would you be able to, filled with the Word, would you be able to take one? I've chuckled. I've had people said, preacher, are you working on your book? I'm like, no. I said, you've been able to read a lot. I went, no. You've been able to write a lot. Oh, definitely not. They say, well, why not? What you been doing? And I went, well, a few things. I said, but anything you have to do with my hands, I've not done much with. You look at me kind of like I'm crazy. I said, two of my four chemos, neuropathy and whatnot was a side effect, and I got it. This second round has been even worse. And sometimes I can't hold a fork. By the way, how many of you think that breaks a fat man's heart when you can't hold a fork? Oh, man. Can't hold a fork. And, you know, I felt okay Thursday. I went to a pastor luncheon. Still with me, nod at me. These guys are all there. You know, and I'm there. I can't wear a shirt with buttons, you know, because I can't button it. Everybody, I didn't think about it that morning, so I'm there. I can't do this motion. I can't twist off a bottle. Silly, I got up, instead of getting tea in a cup, I got the bottle of water, and I sat down, and I went, ugh. So I tried to open it. Anybody ever tried to be cool? I'm trying to be cool, and it ain't cool, and I finally asked the guy beside me, I said, hey, can you open this? So the other guys would notice. He opened it and gave it to me. When he gave it to me, I wouldn't count on the fact I couldn't grab it. So when I tried to grab it, I dropped it. When I dropped it, I grabbed it like that. I mean, even though if you squeeze a water bottle, it comes right out the top. I was killing myself to not be noticed. 12 pastors, several unpastored, you know, church running about 1,000. And they're all talking, and all of a sudden down at the end of the table, I go, quick. I mean, if you realize gravity still works even when you're embarrassed. And the water went up, and the water came down all over my friend who had opened the bottle for me. And then he apologized to me. He said, I'm so sorry. I went, for what? Being wet? And everybody kind of blew it off. And I sat there with half my bottle of water. And I was thirsty, but I didn't go get another bottle. Nod your head if you understand that. And I sat there. So typing, writing, anything like that, trying to hold a book. Sometimes I'm able, most of the time I'm not. If you get a lot of texts from me, or if you hear from me really quickly, it means my hands are working at that point. If you don't hear from me, it means I'm sitting there screaming at the phone because with my voice weak now, voice dictation didn't work real well. I've almost sent out some text messages that had profanity in them, but thank God I edited them, because some of you would have put them online and said, this is what the preacher said, and instead of giving me the benefit of the doubt, I know who you are. What I've done, though, is try to listen to the scripture. Hard to read it. Can't flip a page. Can't hold my Kindle too well. Can't operate the computer sometimes because I can't move the mouse like I want to. Look right here. Christmas morning. Andre's downstairs crying on Luke 2. I'm upstairs crying over Luke 2. Listening to it being read. January 1st, Genesis 1. I'm amazed again. God created. God said it, and it was so. There's great encouragement through the scripture. When the devil says, stay away, God says, come on in. When he says, man, don't be around. Don't be in the word. Don't be in the small group. Don't be with your... God says, man, this is the way. You are full of goodness and knowledge and able to encourage one another. And then lastly, I'm done. Hope is going to grow because of the Holy Spirit. Hope grows by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13. You're back in Romans 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. How many of you love a great big bag of joy and peace? Anybody? That you may abound in hope. That you may abound in hope. I've told you, I have to tell my feet to pick up. I have to watch my hands. I was downstairs the other day, and the office is upstairs. I've got a desk, I've got a computer desk, and I've got a side desk. A really nice place to work. And I can work and try and do things. Restroom's close by if I'm sick. And I went downstairs, I was filling up a bottle. And so I don't know what I was thinking. I grabbed like a 32-ounce cup. I was going to fill it full of water, not thinking I may not handle it real well. So I push it under there, and I kind of locked the water dispenser. And I'm going, it's about done. And I'm trying to maneuver it. When I try and maneuver it, I basically slosh the water. Again, gravity works real well at my house. So I slosh the water, so it starts coming back out of me, and I get the cup maneuvered, so I'm still pressed on the water dispenser, and it's on the outside of the cup, so now it's just kind of misting me. I'm trying to grab the cup and trying not to drop it. At this point, my shorts are wet. My flip-flops are wet. The floor is wet. And I'm really embarrassed in a room all alone. Anybody ever been really embarrassed in a room all by yourself? That word abound there is a word that we would use for overflowing. It means more than enough. God said, this is what I want for you. When you are nourished in the Scripture, when the Holy Spirit is allowed to do what He wants to do in your heart and your life, you're full of hope. Hope sometimes we think is a circumstantial situation. Let me help you. Discouragement is certainly circumstantial. And we can lack hope sometimes because we only look this way. But when I really see God for who He is, and I am confident in what He is doing, and I'm allowing the Spirit of God to work in my life, then I can have hope. Let me help you. Regardless of my own circumstances, I can have hope when life is good and when life is difficult. I can have hope and joy and peace because God is the God of hope. And what He wants to do in my life is to let it grow and to abound, and it may fill me and fulfill me with joy and with peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes try and gin up something we think is natural when the reality is it's supernatural. Let me help you. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm not talking about if you're half empty or half full. I'm simply saying to you that there is a supernatural element to hope that God wants to work in our lives, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our mindset. And God says to you, I want you to have confidence in me that I'm able to do what I says, and you can be certain of my character. You can be certain of my character. Let me give you two applications and leave it with this. Number one, you'll never experience the wow of hope and the wow of peace until you experience the woe of repentance. You'll never experience that. God, I want your hope and your peace, but I'm going to hold on to all this stuff I'm doing over here. No. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to keep sleeping around. I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep doing all whatever, fill in the blank, sinful activity. You wonder why there's no hope. You wonder why there's no peace in your life. There's no peace because you're messing up the relationship. There's no peace because you keep telling God no. And you keep trying to, you've got a train going north and south, and you're trying to hold on to both of them. And what it's doing is just ripping you apart. I talked to someone back before Christmas, and they were telling me their spiritual situation. They said, I know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, why don't you do something about it? They went in this big, long excuse, and I said, The reason you're miserable is because you won't give that to God. You won't repent of that. And until then, there is no amount of counseling. There's no amount of some of this. You're just going to, this is a spiritual issue with you. People say, man, I want all of this from God, and I want this feeling or whatever it is, but you'll never experience hope and peace until you experience the woe of repentance. Someone suggested what we need in 2020 is we need a revival of repentance. Let me help you. I know that's true in my life. I need to get real with God about sin, and real with God about what offends Him, and real with Him about what pleases Him. Number two, I'm done. I suggest to you that our view of hope is only limited by our view of the character of God. well-known preacher in North America named Tony Evans. Tony's written 20, 30 books, known for his humor, and grew up basically. God saved him off the streets, and just a unique fella. Gotten to hear him a few times and read some of his books. His wife was diagnosed with cancer middle of last year and went terminal. Said it was going to be terminal November, December. She passed away just a few days ago. Her children are in ministry. If you've ever seen prayer room, war room, the lady that prays, a younger lady, that was their daughter, the actress in that movie, and her son was Priscilla Shire's brother, spoke at her funeral. I watched some of it. It's been clipped now, and it's going around different video sites. Junior, about 60 seconds, summed up hope. Said he prayed to God to heal his mother. Said, God, this is the best way for you to get honor and glory through this. And he said, and it was, conversation went something like this. So, well, I want you to know something. The answer has already been given. Mother was a believer. Tony and a crowd of several thousand, they estimated several tens of thousands watching live. And as only as a believing son could say about his believing mother. He said, and God reminded me what he said in the scripture. He said, my mother was either going to be healed or she was going to be healed. I mean, if you believe when God takes you from your body, he's got a glorified body for you. And that everything's going to be okay. He's already promised perfect healing. He said that either she was going to be all right or she was going to be all right. I mean, believe better to be with the Lord than to be here. He said, my mom's perfectly fine right now. He said either she was going to be with family or she was going to be with family. She didn't go in the ground in the cold, dark grave. She was with King Jesus and all those who'd gone before believing in the faith. He said, God said it'd be okay. Guess what? It was okay. Let me help you this morning. Your hope sometimes only limited by your view of the character of God. Is he a good God? Is he a wonderful Savior? Does he love you? I'm not saying everything in your life is good. If you hear hope and you mean cessation of problems, you didn't hear me. I'm saying in whatever circumstances you're in, I can have a hope that is anchored and secured, that I can be certain of. I don't wish, I don't cross my fingers, I don't treat it like an empty gas tank. I know because of who God is and what he's done. See, I wish I was more hopeful getting the word. I wish I was more hopeful get closer to the Lord. I wish I was more hopeful. Non-men, non-world circumstances. My hope is in the character of God and the promises of God that he is able to do what he says, and he will certainly carry out what he has promised to do. Say we live in a mess of a world. Yep. My hope's not here. We live in a world full of people who don't keep their promises. Absolutely. God has never yet broke a promise. Live in a world where it doesn't seem like up is down and down is up and right is right. I know it. My hope's not here. My hope is there. My hope's not with you and it's certainly not with me. My hope is in him. And my hope is only limited by my view of the character of God, who he says he is, what he claims he would do, and what he's already done. Hope in 2020. Would you pray with me right now?